Well, I think the children in the choir have said it all. So I don't have to preach, right? Please pray with me. Gracious God, it's raining today, but our hearts are warm within us as we gather together. As we approach the feast of the Christ child, as we hear words prayed and spoken and sung, I pray, O God, that my words may be acceptable as well as our thoughts in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer and the one who leads us along the way. Amen. So today we come to the fourth Sunday of Advent, Christmas Sunday. Can you believe it? Christmas is in 3 days, 4 days. This is almost like a last corner that we turn before we reach the goal that our children and others have been waiting for, so patiently, perhaps. It's been quite a journey as we've met together here Sunday after Sunday. It is a time of waiting and preparation, and it is good for us, and it is trying also in many ways for us. We have talked about yearning for the healing of the nations. We have talked about the yearning that we have for the healing of our own souls. We know that the uncertainties of this life are unavoidable, but potentially instructive and constructive, as we live with them in tension with our faith. We pray that God would come to us and strengthen us for the journey, that we might experience fullness of life, explore the experience of God's grace. Frederick Buechner, the writer, gets it correctly, and we heard these words last week, but I'm going to say some of them again. Grace is something you can never get, but only be given. There is no way to earn it or deserve it or bring it about. A good sleep is grace, and so are good dreams. Most tears are grace. The smell of rain is grace. Somebody loving you is grace. Loving somebody is grace. A crucial eccentricity of the Christian faith is the assertion that people are saved by grace. There is nothing you have to do. There is nothing you have to do. There is nothing you have to do. Like any other gift, the gift of grace can only be yours if you, remember we did this last week, go ahead and do it again. If you reach out, the gift of grace can only be yours if you'll reach out and take it. Receive it. And today we meet King David, who has come a long way from his boyhood watching over sheep in the fields. Now he is king. He is commander over armies. He is the leader of a nation. And as the passage ends, we ask the question, probably along with him, now what? And today we meet up with the teenaged Mary, betrothed to be married to Joseph. And she is the one who is willing to be used by God. Let it be to me according to your word. And the question comes, now what? And today, you and I meet up with ourselves. We have been brought from our own past to this present time. Now what? I think these stories are given to us on this fourth Sunday of Advent because when we want hints as to our purpose and identity in the present, and we want answers to why we struggle with certain issues, we begin by looking backwards, rehearsing history. We begin by looking back into our family and personal history, our faith, and the Bible is a collection of readings that we rehearse so that we remember where we came from, who we are, and to whom we belong. I've just finished listening to the reading of E.L. Doctorow's novel, The March. Its setting is the scorched earth campaign of General William Tecumseh Sherman as he and his 60,000 troops made their way through Georgia to the sea and then up towards into South and then North Carolina in 1864 and 1865. One reviewer states, on reaching the novel's last pages, the reader feels wonder that this nation was ever able to heal after so brutal and personal a conflict. Another writes, never before has the author so fully occupied the past or so gorgeously evoked this generation of the forces that have seeded our times. Doctorow's masterpiece uncovers the roots of today's racial and political conundrums. And he himself said that war, the Civil War, was an act of monumental self-destruction, which cut to the heart of everything we are as a country. The result was the end of slavery, and what a price we all paid. If you ever have a chance to listen to the book or to read it, I encourage you. A marvelous writer, an incredible story. And it brings to mind that need to be aware of the past so that we understand who we are, that hopefully we learn from the past, so that we have more wisdom, hopefully, as we go forward into the unknown future. So listening to that book gave me a better idea, a better sense of the beliefs and attitudes and convictions that fueled that conflict and which still echo here and now. This is what history helps us to do. It helps us to understand ourselves in the context of the larger racial, social, and political communities of which we are a part. Of course, we're very aware of recent history and how certain policies and attitudes have shocked us into being where we are, not only in this country, but around the world. Our past abuse of the environment is haunting us, and we only hope that extensive reparative work and new policies can blunt the possible effects of this abuse. Hidden racial and religious tensions have erupted into the open, not only here, but across the world, and we wonder what it will take to bring real peace. And this congregation during this time has learned a fair amount how the present moment has been built out of the strengths and weaknesses of the past. In the near future, we'll continue in self-examination and also begin to use the strengths of this congregation to build the future where God's purposes lie for us as we go through this interim time. And the question is, now what? I think we're brought by the text to the question of willingness. The willingness to embrace the wisdom gleaned from our own history, and the willingness to trust God to lead us in a way that is made straight. Nathan, the prophet, urged King David to trust in the God who had been with him wherever he went. Mary, the mother of Jesus, listened carefully to God's message and trusted God to lead her, for as the angel said, nothing will be impossible with God. Again, why these stories now? Because, secondly, though we believe that we can do things for God, in reality, it is God who acts in and through and beyond us and for us. God is the actor. And we are asked to trust the power that made us, that sustains our lives, and has an overarching purpose for us. I know this is hard for self-made Americans to hear, part of the mythos of our country. We make ourselves. Because without that willingness to listen and act on what we have heard, we will not grow, practically speaking, in our relationship with God and self and neighbor. Swedenborg wrote, "The Lord is always present with everyone, both evil and good, for no one could live without his presence. But his coming is limited to those who receive him, who believe in him and keep his commandments. It is the Lord's continual presence that gives us the faculty of reason and the ability to become spiritual. This is brought about by the light that comes from the Lord as the sun of the spiritual world, which we can receive in our understanding. That light is the truth, which gives us the power to reason." So this season of waiting and listening, which leads us into the festival of the Christ Child, reminds us that God's love is active in the midst of very real life, whether we are healthy or ill, troubled or at peace, rich or poor, powerful or passive, sad or joyful. Now what? As with God's grace, so with the coming of the Christ Child in our lives. It can be an over-familiar story that we tell to the kids and get them involved in to give them good moral training and the sense that God is around, that God is available, that God loves them. But we can only appropriate the very real possibility of renewal and rebirth in our own lives. That is the true core of this story. When we ourselves are willing to listen and then to respond by reaching out and taking it into ourselves. That's the same movement as reaching out and receiving the grace that God has given us. As Swedenborg further writes, "But the Lord's coming takes place in us when we add warmth to that light by adding love to the truth. The warmth radiated by that sun is love for God and for neighbor. The Lord's presence by itself and the enlightenment it brings to the understanding is like the presence of sunlight in the world. Unless it is combined with warmth, everything on earth is barren. But the Lord's coming is like the coming of warmth which happens in springtime. Since warmth is then combined with light, the earth is softened up and seeds sprout and bear fruit." Just as Mary reached beyond her own uncertainty with the warmth of love for the God who reached out for her, so we can meet God's warm embrace with our own, to the extent of our ability to do so in this present moment. Now what? May this Christmas Sunday, today, be the beginning of new depths of relationship with God and self and neighbor. As we receive God's love, go ahead, do it. As we receive God's love with our own willingness. Amen.